Praise be Jesus and Mary. Today, clearly, we of course celebrate the birth of our Lord in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. And at this time on this day, we actually have a triptych of gospel readings to present to us this mystery, which of course actually begins with the incarnation of our Lord in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary 9 months previously. And we see that first with the midnight mass, which those of you who have attended, we heard the gospel of the actual birth of our Lord in Bethlehem from St. Luke, and the revelation of this birth to the shepherds. Then if you go to the mass at dawn, that's the mass in early morning, we see the continuation of that passage from St. Luke, where the shepherds determined to go in haste and see what the angels had told them, the sign they would find, the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. And they go, and they find it exactly as the angels have told them. And they go out rejoicing. They adore, and they go out rejoicing. Then we come to the Mass of the day and the gospel passage we just heard, which is full of mystery. This is the prologue of the Gospel of St. John, which he wrote well after all of the rest of the Gospels were written, towards the end of his life, around about the year 100 AD, so it was well after. And he begins with this prologue, which acclaims the very mystery of what we are celebrating today. First, that it is, we have to recognize here, this is God himself. Note, he makes the point. In the beginning was the Word. Here, of course, he refers to Christ himself, the Son of God. Therefore, with God from the beginning, the Father. Of course, with the Holy Spirit as well. And together they created the world. And this is the point he's making here. All things came to be through him. Without him, nothing came to be. So it's the Son himself who existed before from all time, all eternity. We're going to see that later on as we see towards the end of this passage. We're going to see a little bit of what might be a little bit confusing here because there's two references to a man named John. Because we have a man named John sent from God who gives testimony to the light. Well, that could be John the Baptist, but I think that's also the evangelist who's giving this very testimony we're reading here. But then we see John testified to him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said." That is clearly St. John the Baptist, which we can tell from the next words. He points out, here is one who is coming now after me, but he existed before me, precisely because he is God. He is the Son of God. And that's the beginning testimony we see at the beginning of this gospel passage. The Son of God, who is the light, who dispels all darkness. Now, what is that darkness that he dispels? He himself is the light, and the evangelist goes to great lengths to point that out here. He himself, Christ, is that light. But what is the darkness he dispels? It is sin. And where does that sin come from? What is sin? It's the offenses against God. Any offenses against God. Where does it come from? Well, it starts, of course, from the evil and Satan. But it passes to all of us. We all fall into sin. And what happens when we fall into sin? We get blinded. We get darkened. We become dark. And if we go too far, we get to the point we can't even see it. We don't even recognize it anymore. Yet it's there. And this is the darkness that our Lord dispels with his coming. But then notice what the evangelist tells us, there's something here. Because he says he came into the world, but the world knew him not. What happens? He goes even a little bit further. Those who accept him and those who don't accept him. You see, if we accept him, what great and awesome things occur for us. What happened to us? What great and awesome things. If we don't, we're left on our own and we lose all. All right, but if we do accept him, note what he says. He gave the power to become children of God. That's what happens with baptism. We become children of God. We become heirs to the kingdom of heaven. We become princes and princesses. Can you believe that? Can you imagine? By being the Son of God, by being the children, adopted children of God, we are the brothers of Christ, who is the Son, who is the King. Remember how the Archangel Gabriel described him to our Blessed Lady. His kingdom will have no end. He is King. We become heirs with him. See what an awesome thing if we accept him. What an awesome thing that baptism, our baptism, does for us. We become his very children. We become children of God. And now we come to the next point. We become children of Mary too. Because look what, notice what the evangelist then says. The Word became flesh. He became one of us. He took on our nature. Where? He became incarnate in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Note what we say in the Creed. Incarnate of the Blessed Virgin Mary. She generated him in his humanity. She is his, truly his mother. Now, here we have to be careful. All right? Certainly, we are all persons. What makes us a person? The fact that we have intellect and will. That's what makes us a person. Our Lord, of course, as God, God is pure intellect and will. He is three persons. Careful, not one. Three, the Blessed Trinity. All right? But the person born of Our Lady, who is that person? Is that a divine person or a human person? Careful. Divine person. He's the second person of the Blessed Trinity. That's what we've seen throughout this whole gospel passage. He's the Son of God, divine person, Son of Mary, having taken his nature from her. Two natures, divine and human. He is a divine person. Therefore, she is truly the mother of God. And because we now in our baptism become children of God, we become children of Mary. You see what an awesome thing. We have a king for our brother and a queen for our mother. Therefore, she is our advocate before him in heaven. No stronger advocate. You see what a beautiful, awesome thing here. All right, and then we saw his glory. Now here's John the Evangelist speaking again. The glory as of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. And they did see a hint of that glory. John was one of the witnesses at the Transfiguration on Mount Tabor. They saw a hint of that. So he did see that. And that's what he testifies here. And later on he will also point out, but yet we could touch him, we could talk with him, he ate with us. He was truly man. He was one of us. You see what an awesome thing. The Son of God, infinite in nature, infinite, the Son of God becomes one of us, finite. Now he doesn't become finite. Careful. He still remains God, therefore he's still infinite, but he comes one of us. All right? And he comes among us and acts just like us, just like a man. Now imagine for a moment. This is just an example, okay, just to get the idea of what it's like, what it means here, all right? Say, think of a group of dogs, and one of them, you know, say a dog that, or say it could be a group of dogs that forget how to bark. They don't act right. So a particular man decides to become a dog to teach them how to act correctly. Now he becomes a dog. He can no longer speak as a man. He can no longer walk as a man. He does so as a dog. He barks. But yet he can teach those dogs how to act correctly. Now think of our Lord. God himself can do so much more as God, of course, because he's infinite. But yet he becomes one of us. Now he speaks like us. He acts like us. He sleeps like us. He does everything a man does. All right? He walks with his apostles, teaches them. They pray together. They ate together. They did everything together. See, he was one of us. Now, why would he become one of us? Well, ultimately, the first and foremost reason, of course, is to give glory to his Father, which he also points out several times throughout the Gospel. To give glory to his Father, but also to provide that link between us and God. Us finite creatures, so much lower in nature, to the infinite God, that link. And thereby also, by becoming one of us, can carry out our redemption. Dispel that darkness of evil that came into the world with sin. You see? Therefore, Son of God, Son of Mary. And we must always put it together. And one more point to make here. Because how easily this is forgotten. But it's in a particular way, Benedict XVI who points it out in his book, Jesus of Nazareth. That conception of Our Lady and the birth in Bethlehem was virginal. She remained a virgin. In fact, that's the question she asks at the Annunciation. How shall this be? I'm a consecrated virgin. I have no relations with a man. As a consecrated virgin, already seeing this as the will of God, how can she be mother too? And retain that virginity, you see? And then the angel points that out to her. It's the work of God. And he reveals all three persons of the Blessed Trinity for the first time in the Scriptures. All three are acting here. Right? The Holy Spirit comes over, no, the Holy Power of the Most High overshadows her. And the Father, the Holy Spirit comes upon her. She's the daughter of the Father, spouse of the Holy Spirit. And the Son to be born of her is the Son of God. You see, by the work of God, it's a miraculous conception. But yet, of her, she generates his humanity. She generates him in his humanity. He is truly her son. So at the birth as well, she remains a virgin. It's a miraculous birth. She did not lose her virginity in any way. She was untouched. You see, she's the only woman in all of history that can be said of. The only one. But you see, this emphasizes that the one born of her is truly the Son of God and her Son, the Son of Mary. God and man. And it is this God and man who comes among us and dispels that darkness with himself, who is the light, and offers that sublime sacrifice of praise to the Father. That is the sacrifice of the cross, the sacrifice of the Mass. Offers that sacrifice to the Father for the love of us, all of us. Now we need only ask ourselves. We reflect on this mystery, and what an awesome mystery. See how much we have here in just this one gospel passage. What an awesome mystery. The infinite God, by the working of the Father and the Holy Spirit and the Son, becomes the Son of Mary, becomes one of us, thus allowing us to share his life, giving us this possibility to share his life, his own life, the divine life. Will we accept him and allow him to work in us and allow him to bring us to him, unite ourselves with him? Or do we reject him and turn up to our own selves and fall into that darkness of sin? Which way do we go? Let's go with him. Let's accept him with all our hearts. Turn to our most blessed mother for that grace we need every day to do that, always, to conform to his will and allow him to lead us to himself, to unite us with himself, that we may share forever in his divine life in paradise. Praised be Jesus and Mary.